Blog Talk Radio.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name, from age to age the same. And He must win the battle.
Good evening, dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News. I want to thank you for tuning in, and this is Sunday, April the 2nd, and we are about to present to you, my dear brothers and sisters, another proposition, a very important proposition, because it is a link. You know, these are all links in the chain, and we have 95 links, if you will, 95 links that we want to present to you over the course of the next 4 or 5 months, however long it takes us to give them to you. And I have not, as of yet, heard a single member of the Joint College of African American bishops. Now, does that surprise me? No, it doesn't really surprise me. Because when you promote error, how could you ever defend it? How could you ever defend a silly doctrine? I mean, how? What leg do you have to stand on? You're not standing on the authority of God's word. And so, you know, this will be our 14th proposition. Number 14, think about that. Number 14, we have released two of the 12 books we have scheduled to release. And as of yet, with two books out and 13 propositions out, and we've done 71 programs to date, we have not heard from a single member from the Joint College of African American Bishops. But again, that should not surprise us, because I told you that early on. I told you that I would be shocked if anyone from that organization ever called in or ever attempted to defend the heretical teachings that they so ardently and zealously promote. And they do promote the heresy. They love talking about the heresy. They don't hide. They put their heresies on websites, on YouTube videos. They put it into writing. They've got books. But again, they will not respond. And I can tell you that they have been tuning in. I've been getting phone calls with area codes from many, many different places. And it's not our faithful listeners who are calling in, or who are, let me put it this way, they're not calling in, they're spying. They're spying. But why not call in? Why not send me an email at reformationexpress@gmail.com? I mean, we do post our email address, so that if any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops wants to call in, or even if the metropolitan, even if the prelate of the organization wants to call in, he can email me at reformationexpress@gmail.com, and I would gladly accommodate him. I would gladly accommodate him. In fact, what I would love to do is I would love to present the proposition and have the gentleman answer right there on the spot. Because these aren't, listen, the man, according to his website, has three doctorates. According to his website, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's the claim. That's what's stated. If you have three doctorates, this should be a no-brainer. But we haven't heard from not one member, and they have hundreds. I think they're reaching close to the 1,000 member mark. So if your organization has 1,000 members, close to 1,000 members, and I think that's what they're close to reaching now, if they haven't reached it already. If your organization has 1,000 members, then, and supposedly they're scholars, and supposedly someone is putting down your organization, because that's what I'm doing. I mean, this is a Mickey Mouse organization. It's Mickey Mouse. This is a wannabe organization. These are people pipe dreaming, pushing a fairy tale called apostolic succession. These are people who I have called jackass church bishops. I called them that. Jackass church bishops. I wrote a whole book on it. Jackass church bishops. And by the way, if you read the book, you just know that I made my case. I just made my case. I made my case. And every person who's read the book has given me an endorsement. They love the book. They can't wait for the other books to come out. Oh, by the way, Draconian Tsunami, which is the third installment in this 12-book series, will be out Monday, May the 8th. Draconian Tsunami. Draconian Tsunami. In fact, let me read to you the write-up to the book. That should interest you. Let me pull it up here. One moment. Just give me a moment. And let me just read to you the write-up. The write-up to the book. And the title, the main title of the book is Draconian Tsunami. I can translate that for you and call it The Tsunami of the Dragon. And here is the secondary title to Draconian Tsunami, showing how the great dragon Satan is currently flooding the African-American church with Romish bishops and canon law in order to wipe the historic black church off the face of the earth. Can I read that to you again? Draconian Tsunami. Showing how the great dragon, Satan, is currently flooding the African-American church with Romish bishops and canon law in order to wipe the historic black church off the face of the earth. That book will be out Monday, May the 8th. Now, let me read the write-up to you in the back. See, this is scholarship. This is scholarship. That dopey book I ordered, which is called The Bishopric, A Handbook to Creating Episcopacy in the African-American Church, that book is rubbish. And it was written by a guy with three doctorates, and it's rubbish. It's complete rubbish. Rubbish. Here's the write-up. Here is the back cover write-up to the book. Draconian Tsunami. It reads, the African-American church is about to be wiped off the face of the earth because her so-called prophets, watchmen, and seers, who are all too busy plagiarizing New Age psychics, wrongly predicting World Series and U.S. election outcomes, and counting piles of money, have adopted the policy of hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. In so doing, these say-nothing, do-nothing, profiteering, prophet liars have allowed the enemy to come in like a flood without any opposition. The one exception is yours truly. Draconian Tsunami is another impeccably researched, well-written, eye-opening book that exposes what the great dragon, the old serpent called the devil, and Satan is currently doing. Trying to tsunami away the historic black church. This book is based on Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, which states, so the serpent / dragon vomited water from his mouth like a river after the woman to sweep her away in the current. End of quote. Draconian Tsunami is an end-time must-read, for it documents and explains how the devil is currently working overtime to deep-six the Kushite church by unleashing a tidal wave of paganized bishops whose mission it is to sink the institutional black church in America. Draconian Tsunami, another Moses H. Jones book that is destined to provoke serious debate among God's precious saints and incur the wrath of to incur the wrath of the draconian members of the Joint College of Paganized African-American Romish Anglican Bishops. The book is phenomenal, and it's coming out May the 8th. Now, that's a book. That's a Draconian Tsunami is a book. It's a eye-opening book. Not this rubbish that I paid $20 for. Not this wannabe make-believe book. And I'm kicking myself every day when I get up and I go to my desk and I see this book on my desk. I feel like kicking myself for having spent $20 on complete rubbish. Written by the chief prelate / metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops. This book is gibberish. Complete. There's not an end note in the book. There's not a footnote. I don't know how this gentleman earned 3 doctoral degrees. I mean, there is nothing in. I mean, this is, like I said, gibberish. Gibberish. So that's it, folks. Draconian Tsunami will be released. Will be released Monday, May the 8th. And it'll be the third book in the series because we have already released Jackass Church Bishops and we have already released Nehushtan Church Bishops. So, with all of these books that we're releasing, and we're releasing them to challenge College of African American Bishops. We're challenging these guys. With the 95 theses that we're unrolling, right? Because, I mean, every day we try to come on and give you another thesis. Sometimes I have to wait 2 or 3 days to let you guys catch up. But we are doing our best. And within a 4 to 5 month period, way before October 31st, way before October 31st, we're going to have the 95 thesis out. And today is proposition number 14. And again, this is for your benefit. This is to educate you. This is to teach you, to arm you with truth, to empower you with knowledge. That's why we're rolling out our own contemporary version of the 95 thesis, tailor-made to address the abuses and the malpractices and the heresies in the black church in America. Tailor-made. So let's see. Let's see if these guys will, if one of them will talk. They did a lot of talking on the Lexi show. I can tell you that much. They did a lot of talking on the Lexi show, but I tried reaching out to Lexi. I spoke to several people. I said, go through some back channels, see if you can get in touch with Lexi, and see if you can get these bishops, these loudmouth bishops, who were doing a lot of talking on her show, to see if they would come on this show. To date, we have not been able to connect. Today, I don't know. So, folks, we're doing our part. If someone wrote 2 books about me, rest assured they would be hearing about me. If they wrote a paragraph about me, they'll be hearing about me. We've written 2 books, 12. We've written 12 books. Let me correct myself. We've written 12 books. 2 have already been released. The 3rd is about to be released. We didn't release them any sooner because we don't want to overfeed people. Because our books are close to 300 pages. And my original purpose was to release 1 per month. But that's overfeeding. I mean, you guys can't keep up. You can't keep up. So that's why we, based on your reading capabilities, that's why we're releasing them the way we are. But originally, right now, we should have released 4 books. And come May 8th, we should have released a 5th book. So we're really two books behind because that's the third book. So let's deal with proposition number 14 today. And it reads like this. It is undeniable that 500 years after Martin Luther nailed his famed 95 thesis to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony, and what is that? The buying and selling of sacred things, has made a fierce comeback with the widespread selling and buying of bishoprics, replacing the selling and buying of indulgences. So let me read that again. It is undeniable that 500 years after Martin Luther nailed his famed 95 thesis to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony, the buying and selling of sacred things, has made a fierce comeback. Has made a what? A fierce comeback with the widespread selling and buying of bishoprics, replacing the selling and buying of indulgences. So let me go to the first audio clip. Let me do that. And let me just tell you that in medieval times, in Martin Luther's day, there was a thing called indulgences. And what was indulgences? Well, an indulgence was a monetized way of selling prayer. It was a way of monetizing prayer. You see, indulgences was a get out of purgatory card, if you would. Now, we all know that purgatory is a complete fairy tale. It's a complete lie. Concocted by whom? The Roman Catholic Church. And so back in Luther's day, they would say to you, well, aren't you sad that your mother is in purgatory? And purgatory was like a halfway house, if you will. It was you first lived on earth, then when you died, the sacrifice of Christ, according to Roman Catholic teaching, the sacrifice of Christ did not completely cleanse you of all your sins, so you had to go to this place called purgatory where you suffered and your sins were purged. And then after being in purgatory for who knows how many thousands of years, because the Roman Catholic Church couldn't tell you how long you were going to be there. Then after your sins were purged, then you would be taken to heaven. But you couldn't go to heaven immediately. You just couldn't go there. Roman Catholic Church taught that, yes, the blood of Christ did do some cleaning, but not complete cleaning of your sins. And as a result, you had to go to this halfway house where the flames of purgatory were used by God as a remedial tool to cleanse you and to reform you of your sinful ways. Then and only then could you merit the entrance of heaven. So now that the Roman Catholic Church created this place, which was a complete fairy tale, then they began to say to the people, well, listen, there's a way you can knock off some time from purgatory, and all you would have to do is sell indulgences. Indulgences was a coupon, if you will, was a get-out-of-jail card, and a get-out-of-jail card for purgatory. And you had to keep buying these indulgences. And, you know, now they never told you when you were going to get out, but just keep buying these certificates, and they're going to be good to get you out. And then also you can have masses. You can pay for a mass, which is the Roman Catholic form of a service. And in these masses you pray for the dead, or you do several good works, or you donate some land to the Roman Catholic Church, and that will get you an indulgence. it'll knock off some years. So the Roman Catholic Church would send these peddlers around town and say to the people, your mother's in purgatory. Aren't you heartbroken that she's there and she's suffering? Well, you can do something for her. Come to this table and buy an indulgence. Knock off 1,000 years. Knock off 500 years. And people would run up and because, you know, they love their mother. So it was a get-rich scheme for the Roman Catholic Church. Now, that's been replaced today. See, the get-rich-quick scheme in the church today is the selling of bishoprics, and I'll explain it. But here is a brief history on indulgences.
Now, the very first instance of indulgences happened in 1095 when Pope Urban II declared at the Council of Clermont that all crusaders would be remitted a penance. Now, this basically meant that if they confessed their sins by virtue of engaging in the crusades, they would be absolved and would basically be given permission to do whatever they wanted, or rather, whatever they do would be forgiven because they were doing the holy duty of going over and killing a bunch of Muslims, basically, during the Crusades. And, well, the theory behind this was, since there was no sin that couldn't be forgiven, because that would mean God has some sort of limitations, and since Jesus is represented by the Pope, therefore, could forgive anything. He had divine permission to do so. So when he hands out this indulgence to crusaders, he's basically doing something which is theoretically within his power. As time went on and the crusades came to an end, indulgences were still pretty popular and in high demand. Now, indulgences were sort of like penance, which in earlier days would be awarded someone if they went on a pilgrimage or performed good works, except you could do it in advance, so if you did a good work or went on a pilgrimage, you would get an indulgence for it. And really, what better good work would the church see than donating money to the church? So basically, if you donated a sum, you would be rewarded with these special indulgences. One region of Europe where indulgences became very popular was in Central Europe, which would later become Germany. And what was really big over there was the sale of indulgences in a will of sorts. So if you passed away, you would leave a large sum of money for the church, and they would basically square things. They would make sure you would be forgiven of your sins and go straight into heaven. Otherwise, you might find yourself in purgatory. I should make a little side note. Purgatory is basically where you go if you are a Christian who has committed some sins, usually the lighter ones, and you'd have to sort of sit there for a while, kind of like a prison sentence before they let you into heaven. However, if you have bought some indulgences, that's sort of like a free pass and sends you right up there. So there was some pretty heavy investment in these indulgences, and a lot of wills from those period actually show most wealthy people would put a lot of their money into these just so they would be sure of where they were going. Anyone who knows anything about the history of the Christian church will see what's coming next. Martin Luther, in 1517, nailed his 95 theses, it's thought that he nailed them to the church door. That might just be mythology. Anyway, he wrote his 95 theses, mostly condemning the sale of indulgences. He saw it as trickery by the clergy, a way to make some easy money. And there's some truth to that. And it caught on quite well in Central Europe, but not so much in Western Europe. And the big part of that is sort of how the priests were seen in the community. As I mentioned earlier, indulgences were very big in Central Europe at the time. And in Western Europe, the priest was seen less as sort of a business-like figure, I guess. That's not the best word for it. But they were seen more like as doctors, and people would go to them and sort of plead their case and would hopefully be absolved of sins. And when it came to sins after death, rather than buying indulgences, they would have these annual masses. That's actually a tradition that still goes on today, even with certain practicing Catholics, to have an annual mass in favor of a lost loved one, although that sort of conflicts with the fact that the Catholic Church recently announced purgatory no longer exists, but, well, let's leave that bit aside for now. Now, you might be wondering how much money was collected. Now, unfortunately, the Catholic Church wasn't really sharing its financial records with the public back in the medieval ages, but it was enough to build St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, as you can see pictured here. And this was actually built with indulgence sales in Germany alone, so you can imagine how much they were picking up all over the place, as I believe they were selling them everywhere. It's just a question of Germany being the most popular place to buy them. Now, they've actually brought back indulgences. They were sort of abolished a few hundred years ago, but they brought them back a few years back. The current Pope, he hasn't started selling them, though. He's just sort of awarding them for people who show up to World Youth Day and other events like that. And, well, I suppose that's a little bit better than going on crusade, just having to stand there and listen to the Pope talk. But nonetheless, it's very strange where you're basically given permission to do bad things in exchange for service to the Church. But, well, I'll leave my opinions on the Catholic Church out of this, although you can probably intimate them a bit from what I've said. But that's the history of indulgences, and I hope you enjoyed hearing it. Thanks.
Well, that's just a short clip, and that's called The Brief History of Indulgences. You can find it on YouTube, and I thought that I would play that just to give you an idea. And every day I'm going to play one of these, because I want to show you that the Roman Catholic Church and everything connected to the Roman Catholic Church, every institution connected to the Roman Catholic Church always finds a way of hoodwinking God's people. And they hoodwink God's people because they tell the people, we are the interpreters of God's word for you. You can't interpret the Bible for yourself, so don't even bother reading it. We have a group of men called the Magisterium. They are the ultimate teachers of the Church. And whatever they teach, you just have to believe. You can't question them. And you dare not look into the Bible for yourself. So basically, it's a brainless Christianity. It's a lobotomized form of Christianity where you walk into the church, you allow them to lobotomize you, take out a portion of your brain, you allow them to turn you into a retarded person, and then you just say amen to everything that they say. You don't question. And so that's the Roman Catholic Church. And you couldn't question them. The Pope had the final say. And the Magisterium, the body of teachers who were breaking down supposedly the Word of God and revealing truth, they were just a team of con artists. And so they were just fleecing the people with peddling the fairy tale of purgatory, and also peddling these get-out-of-purgatory cards. But you had to pay through the nose. And that's how they built everything. And that's why the Roman Catholic Church is the wealthiest entity on the face of the earth. The Roman Catholic Church is the wealthiest entity by far. Nobody's as rich as the Roman Catholic Church. Nobody. Well, how did they do that? Well, remember, saints, that each Roman Catholic priest takes a vow of poverty. Now, think about that. How do you take a vow of poverty? How does your entire group take a vow of poverty and wind up with the richest organization? It doesn't make any sense. But you see, that's the big lie. And the Roman Catholic Church has always been pushing lies. So this idea of simony, what is simony? Well, a simony, many would argue, derives its name from a character in the book of Acts. In fact, let's go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, and Philip the evangelist had evangelized the city of Samaria. And when Peter and John arrived at Samaria to assist Philip the evangelist, they came across this character who was a sorcerer, a magician, if you will, a con man, a false teacher by the name of Simon. Let me read to you Acts chapter 8, verse 9. And there was a certain man called Simon, which before time, in other words, before Philip the evangelist arrived in Samaria, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he was someone great, to whom all the inhabitants of Samaria gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying of this Simon, this man is the great power of God. So that was Acts chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. Verse 11 says, and to him they all had regard, because that for a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. So this is the Simon. This is the Simon from which we get the name or the word Simony. And we get it based on verse number 18. And when Simon the magician, Simon the sorcerer, saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that whosoever I lay hands on, they may receive the Holy Ghost. Then Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that thou can purchase the gift of God with money. So simony is the selling of anything sacred, anything that's sacred in the church. You can't sell miracles. You can't sell breakthroughs. You can't sell a deliverance. You can't sell a healing. You can't sell prophecies. Even though, my dear brothers and sisters, if you turn on to the Word Network and the Daystar Network and God TV and the Impact Network and TBN, to name a few, you'll see them selling a miracle. You'll see them selling breakthroughs. You'll see them selling wealth transfers. You'll see them selling healings. You'll see them selling whatever they can sell. That's simony. The selling of something sacred, the selling of something that comes from God, that's simony. And we get the term simony from Simon Magus. Peter said, thy money perish with thee. Thy money perish with thee. Now, Simon Magus wasn't the first guy selling something in the church, because we know that Judas Iscariot sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So really, the first person practicing simony was was Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot he sold the Lord. And he sold his soul to the devil. You see, simony. Think about it. Here is the Son of God being sold for 30 dirty pieces of silver. And who sold them? Judas Iscariot. So really, simony did not start with Simon Magus trying to buy something. Simony really started, if you think about it, with Judas Iscariot, who sold the Lord. So there are some people who are on the buying end of simony, and there are other people who are on the selling end. Judas Iscariot sold Jesus. Judas Iscariot was on the selling end. Now, in simony, there's always a seller and there's always a buyer. You got to remember that. So, if you go back to our proposition, it says, it is undeniable that 500 years after Martin Luther nailed his famed 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony, the buying and selling of sacred things, has made a fierce comeback with the widespread selling and buying of bishoprics, replacing the selling and buying of indulgences. See, what was a hot thing to sell in Martin Luther's day was indulgences, but today the hot thing to sell is bishoprics. That's what's making big money today, bishoprics. And just like purgatory was a fairy tale, the bishopric is a fairy tale. Because they tell you that you can trace your ministry back to the Apostle Peter. That's a fairy tale. But you see, people buy fairy tales all the time. They're just buying fairy tales. Parents buy fairy tales for their kids. That's why they take them to Disneyland. That's why parents take their children to Disneyland, because in essence they're buying them a fairy tale weekend or a fairy tale week. Now in the church you have grown-ups also selling fairy tales. 500 years ago it was the get out of purgatory fairy tale. They were called indulgences. So there were sellers. Who was selling? The Roman Catholic Church was selling these pieces of paper. Why? Why was the Roman Catholic Church selling? Because they were building St. Peter's Church. And they needed big-time money to build that ministry or that building or that whole structure, that whole complex, that whole campus. So they were selling a fairy tale, and people were just scooping them up, as you saw the brother say. I mean, there were even people who were willing, in a trust, when they died, okay, give this money, this goes to the church, and that'll guarantee that I go immediately to heaven because I'm rich. I don't want to spend any time in purgatory. I don't want to spend any time in the cleansing flames of purgatory. I just want to be whisked directly to heaven. So people with money could forego purgatory by leaving the money to the church, by buying these indulgences, but the poor were stuck in purgatory, and if you don't have the money, you got to do the time. That's all. And then, you know, they pull on your heartstrings and say, your mother's there, your father's there, your son, your daughter's there. Well, you know, do you have a cow? Sell the cow. Take the money from the sale of the cow and buy an indulgence. And, I mean, the Roman Catholic Church was just making money hand over fist. It was a big moneymaker 500 years ago. And it ticked Martin Luther off, because as our brother showed, where were the greatest sales of these indulgences? Well, in Germany. In Germany. The Roman Catholic Church was racking up the big sales by duping the German people and others. I mean, it just wasn't the German people, but that's where the bulk of the sales were coming from. So, 500 years later, after Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony has resurfaced. It has been resurrected. It is making a fierce comeback. But what is the church selling today? Well, what it's selling is bishoprics. And the selling of bishoprics today has replaced the number one seller of the medieval period, which was the selling and the buying of indulgences. Well, let me prove to you that there is what we call, or what I have dubbed, an elevation mill. Now, you've heard of diploma mills, right? A diploma mill is a fake school. It is a bogus institution of higher learning that will crank out diplomas to people who would pay. That's what a diploma mill is. A diploma mill, you go online or you write to a certain school and you pay a certain amount of money. They will never give you a day of class. They will never they won't teach you anything. But if you pay, they will send you a doctorate. They'll send you a master's degree. They'll send you whatever you want. It's called a diploma mill. Well, I have argued in previous propositions that the Joint College of African American Bishops is an elevation mill. Not because I have any evidence that they're selling these bishoprics, because I don't. I never said I had evidence that they were selling these bishoprics, but by elevation mill, I mean that they're cranking out bishops it's a rapid pace. I mean, they're cranking out bishops, and I don't know why. I don't know why this organization called the Joint College of African American Bishops is cranking them out like it's going out of style. So it does have an elevation mill, but I don't know what their motive is. Don't know what their motive is. Don't know. I don't have any evidence. But it is an elevation mill, much like a diploma mill. The only difference is in a diploma mill, you're sending in cash, and they are FedExing you the diploma once they get the cash, once they get the money. You can hang your doctorate on the wall a few days after you exchange money with the diploma mill. What is the elevation mill getting in return? I don't know. That I don't know. However, it is apparent that there are many other organizations out there claiming that they can make you a bishop if you send them money. So here it is. Let me just play that for you, okay? And the first one I want to play is our brother TJ talking about Bishop Neil Ellis and his fake bishops, because I want you to hear Brother TJ say that Bishop Ellis has a bishop factory. In other words, he calls it a bishop factory. I call it an elevation mill. And I just want to play that so that you can understand that I'm not the only person who has observed this. So here's Brother TJ from Church Folk Revolution.
Good morning, Church Folk Revolution. PimpPreacher.com is your boy, TJ. Coming to you with another video at PimpPreacher.com. Still love my banner, right? Want to talk to you today about Neil Ellis, right? This bishop, the so-called Bishop Neil Ellis, right? And his decision to make Juanita Bynum a bishop. That's right. The bishop factory is still cranking them out. Right? And this decision, we found out about this 2 days ago.
Okay, so did you hear that? A bishop factory. You know, it's like if you were to go to Detroit and you would go to a manufacturing plant where they're producing cars, they're making cars, whether it's GM or Ford. Now, what's the purpose of a factory? A purpose of a factory is to turn out product. If it's a company that makes cars, well, they have to turn out cars, and you have to crank out these cars. I mean, you have to produce, or you go under, right? So. And of course, if you're turning out cars, you must be selling the cars, because you're not a factory isn't just turning out cars for nothing. They're not. I mean, Ford isn't donating cars. Ford is cranking them out so that Ford can sell and make a profit. So when you talk about a bishop factory, someone is selling these things. Because they wouldn't be working overtime to be cranking out these bishoprics. So while we may not have the smoking gun, where we may not have the check that shows the transaction of who's paying who, we can assume they aren't doing it because they love Jesus. No, these guys love money. They love money. I mean, that's evident when they go to TBN, because what do? They sell you a miracle. They'll sell you a breakthrough. They'll sell you a deliverance. They'll sell you a healing. Only if you sell. And they tell you, you got to call in. They want you to call into these call-in centers so that they can get your credit card and debit number information, debit card information, so that you can sell your money. That's why they have all of these praise-a-thons. That's why all these bishops go to the Word Network. When they talk about spring revival, it's not a spring revival. It's a spring fleecing. And every preacher that's brought on there who's asked to preach to you that day has to hustle, has to bring in the cash, has to be just like Johann Tetzel, who was peddling indulgences in German territories in Luther's day. These are present-day Johann Tetzels. These are indulgence peddlers, but now they're not peddling indulgences. They're peddling a miracle, a breakthrough, a deliverance, a healing, a wealth transfer, a promotion on the job, a debt cancellation on your mortgage. They're peddling something, but you gotta sow in order to activate God. It's the same thing with these bishoprics. They're not cranking out bishops just because they love you. No, a bishop factory means somebody's getting paid for doing some work. And what's the work? Well, the work is to take somebody who's not a bishop and give them a bishop makeover. You go to the beauty parlor, if you have your hair done, you got to pay the woman who did your hair. If she's putting highlights in your hair, or if she's, covering up your gray roots, or if they're doing your toenails or your fingernails, whatever, you just can't walk up out of there and not pay. You're paying somebody. You're paying somebody, or you're going to get a beating, and then you're going to need another makeover. So you don't go into anybody's beauty parlor and sit there and get your stuff done unless you own the place. You got to pay these people to give you these makeovers. And no doubt you got to give these, if they take you, a lowly pastor, and they turn you into a highfalutin bishop, trust me, you're paying. Now, again, we don't have the smoking gun. We don't have the canceled checks. We can't show how the money was transferred, but it is a bishop factory. Brother TJ's right, and I just happen to call it what it is. It's an elevation mill, because every single week they talk about attend my elevation service. That's why I called it an elevation meal. That's why I called it an Episcopal babble going nowhere. They're promising you pie in the sky. Oh, let's come together. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build this tower. Well, it's pie in the sky, because God's not going to let you build anything. He's going to smack you down. It's an Episcopal babble. It's an elevation meal. And all of these people are getting elevated. They are, but they're nobody. Even after you put on the outfit, it's not magical. It doesn't transfer any magic. In fact, you're stupider than ever. You're more stupid when you put on the skull cap, and you sound more stupid when you're trying to speak Latin. I mean, come on. You can't even speak English properly. So here's Brother TJ again talking about the bishop factory. And I want you to remember, I want that manufacturing, when you're manufacturing, somebody's got to pay for the product. You're paying through the nose for this stuff. Here it is again.
Good morning, Church for Revolution. PimpPreacher.com is your boy, TJ. Coming to you with another video at PimpPreacher.com. Still love my banner, right? Want to talk to you today about Neil Ellis, right? This bishop, the so-called Bishop Neil Ellis, right? And his decision to make Juanita Bynum a bishop. That's right. The bishop factory is still cranking them out. Still cranking them out.
The Bishop Factory is still cranking them out. And, you know, if it's whatever company it is, whatever company which is involved in manufacturing, whether you're manufacturing cars or whether you're manufacturing rifles, there's a company not too far from me. There's a small company that manufactures rifles. Well, people go there and they work. And, I mean, you got to crank out those rifles and you got to ship them because people are buying them. If you have a factory, people are buying your product. There's another company not too far from here, and they make windows. And they're cranking out windows, and people are buying the windows. The company's not the window factory's not making windows to give them away. They're not giving windows away. You got to buy them. It goes back to simony. Somebody is buying these bishoprics. Now, where we may not have the council check, we know. Now, here's another clip. Here's a woman. She goes by the name of Pastor Celeste Washington. And she has a video called Illegitimate Bishops. And here she is, and she's talking about people who pay $10,000 for the bishopric. And I already shared this on yesterday's broadcast that I had a heart-to-heart conversation with a friend of mine who was made a bishop. And I pressed him. I pressed him hard. And he was quite embarrassed when he said to me he coughed up $10,000 for his bishopric. He had to give $4,000 to the chief consecrator, $3,000 apiece to two co-consecrators, and that was the $10,000. Now, the $10,000 was to get their signature on his parchment that said he had apostolic succession, that he can trace his – so that bogus certificate which said – that he can, I mean, it guaranteed him that he could trace his bishopric back to St. Peter, because the guys who were laying hands on him could make the same claim because they had the same certificate. No doubt they paid the same kind of money to get the dopey certificate. So he paid $10,000. That was just for those three signatures alone so that he can have that parchment, which is completely worthless, because that's a fairy tale. I mean, that's like writing three signatures on the book called Alice in Wonderland, or getting those three guys to sign the book called Pinocchio, or getting them to sign the book on Aladdin. Fairy tales. So here's this pastor now who's 3,000 miles away from where my friend and I are, 3,000 miles away, and she says that she knows somebody who – she knows people who are paying $10,000 for – so it must be a racket. It must be the resurfacing of simony all over again. It's like Simon Magus said to Peter, I'll give you money if you give me what you got. You got the Holy Ghost? I'll pay you for this sacred thing. In the case of Simon Magus in Acts 8, he was trying to buy Holy Ghost power. But in this instance, these guys are trying to buy a sacred office, the office of the bishopric. So simony has resurfaced. Here is this sister called Pastor Celeste Washington. And the title of this YouTube video is Illegitimate Bishops. And I don't doubt what she's saying, because I had to press a dear friend of mine. I had to press him. And he fessed up. And he was quite embarrassed that he had gotten suckered. He was embarrassed that he had been taken to the cleaners. and paid $10,000 for three worthless signatures that went on a worthless document. Here is Pastor Celeste Washington's video, Illegitimate Bishops.
Just because you stayed up on your change to get you across.
And what she's referring to there when she says you saved up all your chain to get across is because when you're made a bishop, you have to buy that huge gold chain and that huge pectoral cross, and that is expensive. That's expensive. That's what she's referring to when you saved up all your chain so you can buy your cross. She's referring to the pectoral cross that's part of the jewelry that bishops must wear. And I'm going to get into that part of the bishopric shortly.
Just because you saved up all your change to get you across in a red purple shirt, and you should see them, y'all. They be all done up from head to. And God is going to get the leaders. God is going to get the fathers of the church.
That's called simony. You see, simony has resurrected. And what are they selling? Are they selling get out of purgatory cards? No, they're selling bishoprics. They're selling sacred office of the bishop. That's what's being sold. Now, how does a woman who's 3,000 miles away from me and my colleague, how does a woman come up with the same figure that he confessed to me in tears? Well, because it must be a standard, it must be the standard going price for one of these bishoprics. It must be the industry standard. It must be the industry fee for these bishoprics. That's right.
Because now, it's a money thing.
Yes. Did you hear that? Now it's a money thing. Now somebody is selling and somebody's buying. Now it has become a money thing. Now it's become simony. Now you see, that's the problem. Years ago, Oral Roberts started with this sowing nonsense. Sow a seed. You have a need, sow a seed. Well, if you're in need of a miracle, sow a seed. If you're in need of a breakthrough, sow a seed. If you're in need of debt cancellation, sow a seed. If you're in need of a deliverance, sow a seed. If you're in need of a promotion, sow a seed. If you're in need of buying a new house, sow a seed. If you're in need of a car, it goes on. Now, since they've conditioned people to sow seeds for everything that they can get free from God, and you get everything free from God the Father by simply asking Him, which is called prayer. And Jesus said, this is why the men in his day turned the house of prayer, God's house, which was supposed to be a house of prayer where people got things for free. Now they've turned it into a den of thieves because now they were selling and having people buy their stuff. They turned it into a den of thieves. And it's been ongoing since the days of Jesus. Simony in the black church. What are they selling? The sacred office of the bishop. It's a money thing now.
Because sound is a money thing.
They need that money for? They're building their empires. They're building their versions of St. Peter's Basilica. It all goes back to they're building something. They're into themselves. They're built. You see that it's again. They're building something, just like the Pope, Pope Leo X, and Martin Luther's day. What was he building? St. Peter's Basilica. They're all building something. They're all. That's why they need your money. That's why they're gonna sell you something. That's why simony is so prevalent on the Daystar Network, on the Word Network, on the Impact Network, on TBN, on God TV, even in Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. They're selling you something. Come on, folks. Come on. It's a money thing.
I'm telling you what I know, that there are those who will consecrate you for $10,000. You are accountable. Because now it's a money thing.
No, it's not a money thing. It's a big money thing. See, we need to add the word big. Because $10 is a money thing. $15 is a money thing. $50 is a money thing. When you're talking about $10,000, that's a big money thing. That's a big money thing. Pastor Celeste Washington and her take on illegitimate bishops and what the going price is, and that's $10,000. Well, here's more. Here's this guy here. And his name is George Bloomer, and he's a regular. He's a regular on the Word Network, and George Bloomer sells miracles. He sells healings. He sells breakthroughs. He sells everything. In fact, he even testified he used to sell drugs. When he was unsaved, he used to sell drugs. He used to sell crack. He used to sell whatever. Before he came to the Lord, he was peddling, selling something. Now, supposedly, he's in the Lord. He's in the Word Network. What does he sell? A healing, a miracle, a breakthrough. And they tell you, we're not selling, but you are. They say, you can't buy a miracle. You can't buy. Well, so then why are you asking for money? Why is it that every time you come on, the lights come on and the cameras go on, and you say, lights, camera, action, why is it that every broadcast starts with money and ends with money? And it starts with our money getting into your hands. Well, you know you can't buy a miracle for $100. So then why you want the $100? You see, they're selling sacred things. They're selling sacred things. So here is George Bloomer. Here is George Bloomer. And he is, and this is one of the big guys out there. And he's, not only does he sell miracles, but now he's making somebody a bishop. Listen to this. And look, folks, I can play till the cows come home. I can play one elevation service after another. I mean, YouTube has so many elevation services. You would think, are there that many bishops? I mean, are there that many? Because they're cranking them out. I mean, like Brother TJ said, the Bishop Factory is cranking them out. And this is just one. And the reason why I'm playing this consecration service, this elevate, the reason why I'm playing, because it's only 3 minutes. There are consecration services that go on for 2 hours. I am not going to bore you with a 2-hour consecration service. Here's a quickie. Here's a short one where they just took some highlights. Here's a short one. With George Bloomer acting as chief consecrator.
Gracious and kind God, we thank you today. Even as the Holy Spirit had come up upon David when he was called from outside, when he was called from outside inside, even that same anointing that was on him, so shall this anointing rest on our dear bishop today. That as he bows in humility, he will rise in stature and in power as a global statesman for the kingdom and as a prince in the Lord's church. We thank you for it now. As we robe him in the garments of praise and spiritual warfare, we pray that this people will be honored, blessed, and use all of the keys and the concepts that will make this ministry the great ministry that we already see in the spirit that you're now about to manifest in the natural. In Jesus' name, amen. Rise in the name of the Lord with the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon you, our dear pastor, as we prepare to put on the garments of praise in Jesus. You've been consecrated. You've been charged. Your walk in the election has swiftly moved to elevation. So we announced to this.
Did you hear that? Swiftly moved to elevation. Elevation mill. Swiftly moved to elevation. Did you catch that?
Has swiftly moved to elevation. Swiftly moved to elevation. Your walk in the election has swiftly moved to elevation. So we announce to this congregation the bishop. A prince in the Lord's church.
Well, Jesus said there are to be no princes in the Lord's church. There are to be no princes in the Lord's church. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 20, there are to be no princes in the Lord's church, and he told them the same thing in Matthew 23. So this guy is just repeating Roman Catholic jargon, Anglican jargon. There are no princes. In fact, we get to rule and reign when Christ comes back, not before. We get to rule and reign when Jesus comes. Is he here yet? Is the Lord here yet? No, he's not here. So then nobody's ruling and reigning except those who have hijacked the Lord's church and have turned it into their own den of thieves. Those are the ones ruling and reigning. But they are not representatives of the Lord. They're representatives of Nimrod, the rebel. And they themselves are junior Nimrods, creating an Episcopal Babel and elevation mill which God does not approve of.
The bishop. A prince in the Lord's church.
Amen. Just want to thank God who is truly the head here today. Give honor to my bishop here today. I just want to honor him for seeing me and seeing the vision that God has placed in my life. Bishop, I promise you that I will make you proud. I promise you.
You see, one Nimrod, one newly ordained Nimrod saying to another Nimrod, I will make you proud. Well, aren't you supposed to make Jesus proud? Aren't you supposed to make God the Father, God the Holy Spirit proud? What are you doing saying to another man, I will make you proud? Well, the reason why he's saying that is because it's a man-made organization and the offices are man-given. That's why he's saying, I'll make you proud, because it's a man-made thing.
In the God has placed in my life. Bishop, I promise you that I will make you proud. I promise you will stand with character and dignity and to make the body of Christ proud also. Just want to thank each and every one of our official guests here. Today, I love you. We're here to support you, and thank you so much, Ms. Guyana. And thank each and every one of you. Honor to my mom and dad and to my beautiful wife. Thank you.
And there he is standing in a clown suit with the other clown standing next to him. Well. Now, if you don't have $10,000, that's okay. You don't have $10,000. There's another guy who will sell you also a certificate. Now, it's not going to cost you $10,000. It'll cost you $50. And here is this advertisement on YouTube. It's called Become an Ordained Bishop. Become an Ordained Bishop for $50. That's the cheapest rate out there. And on this YouTube video, the guy has 4,000 views. So you do the math. Become an ordained bishop. Complete package, $50.
Do you have a calling over your life and want to start your own ministry? Do you want to operate as a bishop and don't know where to turn? Hi, this is Master Prophet Noel inviting you to join my ministry and become an ordained bishop. Your ordination package includes ordained bishop certificate with church seal, ordained bishop ID card with church seal, 9 audio CDs on MP3 bishop training course, plus free shipping by priority mail. You also receive your own bishop seal logo with your name, your own bishop seal on business card, your own bishop seal on letterhead, plus the designs on CD for only $50. Come join my growing ministry and become an ordained bishop as I will equip you to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please call the Florida office at 1-954-639-3169 or visit the website at www.masterprophetnoel.com.
Wow. I mean, that's a deal. I mean, you're still going to be a bogus bishop. I mean, but you can be a bogus bishop for $50 or you can be a bogus bishop for $10,000. That's up to you. But as you can see, it's easy. Now, here is Sister Lexi, who did a broadcast entitled Illegitimate Bishops on the Word Network. And she tells her story as to how she went online and she became a bishop. Here it is. You see, look, folks, this is Simony in the black church, and all of these examples are within the black church, simony, the selling of the sacred office of the bishop, is a big seller. People are making money left and right. Left and right. Here she is.
Coming up on the Lexi Show.
Totally out of order. Some people who have not experienced success in their own life, who don't have the ability to lead others, really has no business being a bishop.
Yeah. To become a medical doctor, you must have an undergrad degree, go to med school, and then a 2-year residency to complete. To become an attorney, you have to do grad school, law school, and then pass a bar examination. In med school and law school, there are no shortcuts. And due to the stringent requirements, in the past few years, there hasn't been an increase in lawyers or doctors. But what caught my attention was the increase in persons who are calling themselves bishops and apostles and doctors. Recently, I had the privilege to sit down with some of the country's foremost and respected ordained bishops, and I got their feedback. And not only that, but I gave them proof of just how easy it is today to become a bishop.
Did you hear that? That's her intro. How easy it is to become a bishop. How easy. Now, who started this? Four guys started this. You go to the website of the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, and they'll tell you the story. Four guys started this mess, and it's out of control. Four guys introduced this nonsense. Now, maybe they didn't introduce the simony part. Maybe I'm not accusing them of starting the simony part, but look what is when. Listen. When you are a Nimrod, when you are a rebel, when you're a rebel, and you're ordaining other Nimrods, other rebels, you're going to have a crime syndicate in your hands in no time, no time. And that's what this is. The selling of bishoprics is organized crime. Because Jesus, if Jesus was alive today, if he was here today, let me put it that way, he is alive. If Jesus was here today in our black churches, he'd be whipping them bishops upside their heads, upside their backs. If he was here in person today in the black church at one of these elevation services, he would be whipping these guys, tearing up those bogus parchments, kicking everybody out of the church and telling them that they've turned his house of prayer into a den of thieves. Why? Because now, the selling of bishoprics has become big money as simony has resurfaced in a fierce manner.
Have the ability to lead others really has no business being a bishop.
Yeah. To become a medical doctor, you must have an undergrad degree, go to med school, and then a 2-year residency to complete. To become an attorney, you have to do grad school, law school, and then pass a bar examination. In med school and law school, there are no shortcuts. And due to the stringent requirements, in the past few years, there hasn't been an increase in lawyers or doctors. But what caught my attention was the increase in persons who are calling themselves bishops and apostles and doctors. Recently, I had the privilege to sit down with some of the country's foremost and respected ordained bishops, and I got their feedback. And not only that, but I gave them proof of just how easy it is today to become a bishop.
Understood it.
They couldn't read it
because I wasn't happy about life.
I prayed.
I can't tell by the sound of your voice if you're really in love with
that
me.
Love God and will love me the way God loves me.
And you are.
I'm blessed. I am blessed.
No,
I
can't lie. If I say to you, baby, I love you, then baby, I love you. Oh, and I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming and taking out
time in your busy, busy schedules. All of you are pastors and bishops in your own right and have your own churches, and I just want to thank you.
Well, it's just good to be here, Lexi, just to be able to share with you and the great job you're doing. We're proud of you.
Thank you, Bishop.
All right.
Well, I want to introduce everybody that's in the panel today. Of course, we have Bishop Hutchins down here, and your church is called Kingdom Now
Ministries,
right here in Atlanta.
That's right, Norcross, Georgia.
Norcross, Georgia.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Bishop Lester Love, YouTube favorite, how are you?
I'm doing great, Lex. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Glad
good.
You're here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Yes, absolutely. City of Love in New Orleans.
Yes.
Doing it big. I love
God
it.
God has been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, God has been good.
Yes, he has.
Like Bishop Morton says in the back, you know, whenever Lexi calls, you just drop everything.
whatever. And I'm so glad to have Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton here.
Bless you.
Yes, changing a generation right here in Atlanta. Two locations
right.
And then you're also in
New Orleans.
Where the beautiful First Lady.
The love of my life, Pastor B, we call her.
Yes. You better go ahead. You better give her a shout out. You better give her a shout out.
I know that's right.
I love it. So you're very busy. So a lot of things happening.
A whole lot going on, but I enjoy being busy. I would rather be busy than not being busy.
I heard somebody say I would rather wear out than rust out.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll use that.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to bring you all here because there seems to be an epidemic. I went online.
Did you hear what she said? An epidemic. I call it a pandemic. A pandemic, an epidemic is something local. The bishopric disease, what I call the first phase, the purple plague, the second phase, scarlet fever, the third phase, Nehustan dementia, that is no longer an epidemic. It's no longer local. It is a pandemic. It has reached global proportions.
I heard somebody say I would rather wear out than rust out.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll use that.
Yeah. you know, I wanted to bring you all here because there seems to be an epidemic. I went online, bishops, and I made myself a bishop.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bishop Lexi.
Yeah. Bishop Lexi.
My.
For $75, I got a doctorate.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I'm now a bishop. I believe it costs $50. And so I need everybody to address me as such. And
well,
I want you to bring me in to the next Full Gospel Conference
my.
So I can preach.
Got
and
your collar and your cross. All
I
over.
Haven't gotten that yet.
Not yet.
That's
going to
cost an additional. An additional amount of money. And yes. And so, you know, I'm just amazed by the number of people that call themselves bishops. I'm amazed at the fact that people are calling themselves doctor and apostles. And I don't believe that everybody is going through the proper ranks, if you want to call it. You guys correct me, because I don't know, and that's why we're doing the show, because there are a lot of lay people like myself. I don't have a title. I don't understand how it works. You do. And so I need you, we need to get an understanding, get clarification on. Let me say this. I think one of the things that bothers me so much is the fact that I saw my mother as a single parent work hard, come home tired. I made her black coffee, and she would had books. Each book was this thick a piece, trying to become a medical doctor. Years it took her. Years. And then after that, after she got, you know, graduated from medical school, then she had to do residency. She had to go into practices and all that, all to become, to have MD at the end of her name and to practice as a board-certified physician. And then you had to take another test to become board-certified. So I watched all that happen, and now people call themselves doctor. They get an honorary. Now, I'm not against honorary degrees because some are earned. Bill Cosby, there are people that have done things out in, you know, you understand that. But then there are other people that print up cards and call themselves doctors. And I think it's a kick to others that have earned it, and it cheapens the title. Bishop, can you just start?
Well, she's asking, she's asking three illegitimate bishops, because all of them are illegitimate. These three guys are all fake bishops. They're all bogus bishops because they're part of that Episcopal babble. So here is this young lady asking these guys, asking illegitimate bishops to tell her what a legitimate bishop ought to be. I mean, this guy here, the chief bishop among the three that are here on this panel, he's an Episcopal Nimrod. He's got his own Tower of Babel. It's called Full Gospel Fellowship. Full Gospel Baptist Fellowship. Let me correct myself. Full Gospel Baptist Fellowship. That's his Episcopal Babel. He's got his own tower. The three of them are all Nimrods. And the poor thing is asking these guys to tell her, how does this thing legitimately work? But the three men she's talking to are running an illegitimate operation themselves. Folks, here it is again, proposition number 14. It is undeniable that 500 years after Martin Luther nailed his famed 95 Theses to the door of Wittenberg Castle Church, the serious sin of simony, the buying and selling of sacred things, has made a fierce comeback with the widespread selling and buying of bishoprics, replacing the selling and buying of indulgences. I think I made my case today, folks. And as you heard Lexi say, it was so easy to become a bishop. It was so easy. It was so easy. So we'll leave it there. I'll have proposition number 15 tomorrow. Tomorrow. I want to close today's broadcast with this wonderful song that I was just recently made aware of. It's a great song. It is a marvelous, marvelous song. And what I love about the song is that it challenges us, the believer, in these last days, because we're being challenged in these last days. There are two churches in the world today. There's an apostate church. There's an apostate church that is being led by Rome. Obviously, these bishops who are dressing up in purple and in scarlet in the black church are part of this apostate church. They're an extension of the Roman Catholic Anglican apostate church. They're a part of it. And then there's this remnant church. There's this wilderness church. The wilderness church, you'll find her in Revelation 12. The apostate church, you'll find her in Revelation 17 and 18. And I want to challenge you with this song, and I want you to think. I really want you to think. I really want you to think. There are two roads. There are two roads. One that leads to Jesus and heaven, and the other road that leads to the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church and eventually the Lake of Fire. Which way will you choose? Which way? You may be a member of an African-American church where your bishop now has sold out to Rome, where he's bought his bishopric, where he's bought the fairy tale, where he's bought the lie. Which way will you choose? Will you follow your fairy tale bishop, or will you follow Jesus? Think about it. Listen to this song and then pray about it. And it is my prayer that you make the right choice and follow Jesus.
Satan's mind, a leader will arise to take the reins, saying the love will bring us peace if you put your hope in me. Renounce the name of Jesus or be slain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? You got everything to gain. You got believe the lie to chill their heart. They'll know the time has come to seal their fate. Those who cling to the cross will refuse and pay the cost as God redeemed his own from the sea of pain. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose? Feel their sin and shame. You can make the choice right now. Trust in Christ, our hope and crown. Oh, watch the world you love go up in flame. Which way will you choose? Which way will you choose?